Hello and welcome to Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. On this show, I'll be interviewing organizations located in and associated with Magnuson Park to learn more about who they are, what they do, and how you can get involved. My guest today is Maggie Rogers from Plant Amnesty. Maggie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
All right. Well, if you could just start us off and let our listeners know what your role is at Plant Amnesty and how you got started there.
So again, my name is Maggie. I'm the executive director of Plant Amnesty. I've been with the organization for 2.5 years, and I came into it in a kind of interesting way. Before COVID, I was 100% freelance theater artist. And when COVID happened, that industry dissolved momentarily. It's on the comeback. But I was like, what else do I want to do with my life? Like, what do I have a passion for? And I'm a huge nerd about plants. I love reading about the etymology of the Latin words and blah, blah, blah. So one of my professors at school was like, there's an organization where we need somebody with a nonprofit background, which most theater is nonprofit. And I started in that way. And I am still getting my horticulture degree from Edmonds College. And I'm working to get certified as an arborist. Yeah, so about 2.5 years.
All right. So a lot of background there. And as a self-assessed plant nerd, do you have a favorite plant?
Oh, don't make me do this. There's so many. I think my favorite plant is Carokia cotoneaster, which is a I try to make my house look like a witch lives there. And it's a very like wiry shrub that's gray but has these beautiful yellow flowers that surprise you. So
okay.
Trying to get the witch aesthetic going.
Gotcha. All right. Perfect. Well, could you give us a brief overview of Plant Amnesty and how it got started?
So Plant Amnesty is a small nonprofit organization that focuses on preserving urban green space and also teaching the public how to prune plants properly with scientifically accurate information. And this organization was started 37 years ago by Cass Turnbull, who unfortunately has passed away. She passed away in 2017 suddenly. And she was a huge, fierce advocate for tree protection. A lot of what she did, a lot of her campaigns were called Stop Topping Trees, where people just clear cut right off the top of a tall, huge, beautiful tree because they want to see the sound or they want to see the mountain, which is all boils down to wrong plant, wrong place. Like the tree either shouldn't have been planted there or you should have known that when you moved in. So a lot of her advocacy was protecting trees, which is something that resonates so much with me and what I'm very passionate about. Yeah, so that was 37 years ago.
All right.
That's like the quick version.
Yeah, quick. And a long history there. Always good to hear that those organizations are sticking around the area and doing some great work for the communities they serve. Now, you mentioned the malpruning. What exactly is malpruning and why is it important to educate the community about it?
So malpruning is a term that Cass coined. And it essentially means, you know, pruning plants incorrectly. And the problem with that is, you know, a lot of the times when people go out to prune, I'm just going to use shrubs right now. Shrubs, you know, they're cutting back a part of the plant that's in the way, but what they're actually doing is counterproductive because they are forcing the growth hormone in plants to shoot out more growth there. So Cass called that the Hydra effect. Where you think you're getting rid of a piece, but you're actually encouraging much more growth. So there's a very, it's all science, a very scientific way, timing of pruning, specific pruning cuts. At Plant Amnesty, I always say we have a wry smile when we talk about pruning because, the title of our organization is Plant Amnesty. So saving plants that would otherwise go unsaved or are getting tortured by homeowners and landscapers who don't understand how to take care of them. Yeah, so malpruning is pruning plants incorrectly, which leads to problems that could have been prevented by using proper cuts.
So there's definitely more to it than just cutting the branches or the limbs off these trees. Oh, as you mentioned, there is a science to all of this. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that Plant Amnesty is doing, is trying to educate the communities about the science behind pruning and how to do it correctly.
Yes.
And then the other part of Plant Amnesty in your mission is preserving urban green space. Mm-hmm. What is considered in urban green space, and how are they important to a community?
Defining urban green space really differs from person to person and organization to organization. But, you know, urban green space referring to any area that is not paved over with grass and trees that help create a tree canopy for the city. Urban green space is so important. It's very hot in this room right now, mm-hmm. and the world is getting much warmer. So without urban green space, our quality of living would be so much lower. And, you know, there's a huge lack of trees in, you know, historically poorer areas, especially like you can essentially map redlining with where urban green space is and how lower income areas or predominantly BIPOC areas have less trees than, you know, we're in Magnuson Park with all of these like beautiful houses with these huge, gigantic trees. And trees scientifically have a quality about them that improve life. You are happier. You are more motivated to go outside and be with nature. And without them, I mean, I used to live in Chicago and how, I mean, there is some green space in Chicago, but how much like more richer life is with these trees. Also, it provides a place for pollinators and wildlife and bees and children to play and animals to hang out. And, you know, there's also this huge conversation going on right now that Seattle is actually in the process of passing a new tree ordinance. And, you know, a lot of that conversation includes, well, what do we do about the housing crisis? Because if we need to build more houses, then people think, well, we have to cut down trees. And those things are not necessarily connected to each other all of the time. But that is like a big fight that comes from that.
You really kind of focused in on how important these green spaces are mm-hmm. to a person's well-being, physically, mentally, yeah. emotionally. So preserving them in our communities sounds very important. And you also touched on a little bit of the other work that Plant Amnesty does around this new rule or law that the city is trying to put into effect. And so that's the advocacy part of what Plant Amnesty does. Could you give us a little overview about what the advocacy looks like from Plant Amnesty?
I mean, Plant Amnesty was founded on advocacy for plants and trees. Cass was a fierce fighter for no tree topping, no shearing of plants that don't need it. So, you know, we have always had a public advocacy lens to us. I know there's this parking lot in Seattle that all the buildings were torn down and Cass kept filling it with stuffed animals to bring attention to the lot of like, now there's this huge piece of grass that nothing is getting developed on, like animals could be living here. So the city would take all the stuffed animals away. She'd put more stuffed animals. And, you know, I just love that like fighting spirit that this organization has. And we, you know, we participate in advocacy through co-hosting the Urban Forest Symposium with the University of Washington Botanic Gardens every year. Last year, it was an indigenous focused symposium talking about how we can create pathways for the government and indigenous knowledge to move forward and protect this community and its trees. So along with working with UW for the Urban Forest Symposium, Plant Amnesty also has a branch called the Last 6,000. And in 2016, I believe, there was a scan of the canopy, a radar scan, and there's only 6,000 trees with a 30-inch diameter or greater in the Seattle area. So the Last 6,000 is working on locating those trees, letting the neighborhood know that they have a huge piece of history with them, and working to preserve them. We also work with the Heritage Tree Committee, which is in partnership with Plant Amnesty, City of Seattle, where if somebody has a beautiful tree, we work to protect it, give it a plaque. That's a very simplified version of what that program actually is, but that's the quick overview. We show up tabling to events. If people in the community see something happening with their trees or, you know, they contact us, I will write a letter to the council person of that neighborhood or, you know, do what I can. Call. Getting on the phone is so incredibly important because not enough people do it. You know, so we're always trying to listen to what the community is asking of us and then responding with what we have to offer, you know, which is a history of protecting trees and some really loud people who are sick of it happening. I mean, it's in our name, Plant Amnesty.
So a lot going on with advocacy at Plant Amnesty. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not all that you do. Around education and resources, a couple other pillars of your organization. Could you provide us with kind of an overview of what education looks like within Plant Amnesty and for the community?
So Plant Amnesty offers pruning classes. So when Plant Amnesty was started, Cass Turnbull started the Master Pruner Program. And this is a series of courses and hands-on workshops that if you complete, you get a Master Pruner certificate. And these courses include pruning. There's 9 courses, and they're all online now after COVID, so they're accessible. We've had people from Ireland take them, from all over the East Coast. And these classes include pruning of vines, shrubs. We have a class called Art or Atrocity. You know, the difference between ornamental pruning and bad pruning, things on purpose or not. Japanese pruning, fruit trees. So a huge swath of classes for anybody. I feel like we hit all the corners for the classes. And then we have hands-on workshops. And how we get these workshops is, you know, people in the community who need pruning done at their house will invite us over to have these aspiring pruners work at their house and do a full day of work. The hands-on workshops are my favorite. I've taken all of them. I highly recommend them. If you are a member of Plant Amnesty, you also have access to our resource library, which has hundreds and hundreds of articles about pruning, pruning-specific plants, articles that Cass has written that are all logged there. Cass also has a book called The Guide to Pruning, which is like the Pacific Northwest Bible of pruning. I look at it almost every day. I give it to people for Christmas. It is very, very, very helpful. And we also participate. This is a little bit of advocacy as well, but we go to boothing events. So we'll go to upcoming, we have Sorticulture, which is happening in Everett, where we'll pass out pamphlets of, we have a lot of free literature for people. You can even like slide it under your neighbor's door who doesn't really know what they're doing, or keep it on your fridge if you need a quick reminder of how to make a pruning cup before you go outside. So we have lots of accessible free literature. And I think we have a pretty fun social media presence as well.
Well, a lot going on with education, providing a ton of resources for folks who are in the landscaping or pruning business, but also just the general public, getting them involved in these classes as well. If there are folks who are listening to this show and they're like, yeah, I want to be involved in those classes, take the workshops, mm-hmm. do the hands-on learning, how do they get involved?
First of all, I would love for anybody who wants to be involved to reach out to me. The best way to contact us is through plantamnesty.org. And there's an info@plantamnesty.org email there. Or if you send over an email and you can even be like, I don't really know anything about plants, but I want to, you know, booth and meet more people in the community or meet other plant nerds. We definitely have tons of opportunities for that. So the info@plantamnesty.org email address is the best place for that.
All right. And make sure to check out the website as well, plantamnesty.org. Going into the social media, you mentioned you have your social media presence there. So outside of the website, where are folks going to find out more from these social media accounts?
Yeah, we have our Instagram account, which is the @plantamnesty, and also our Facebook page. And the Facebook page is also a great way for people to, you know, post and talk to each other, as Instagram is a little bit less of that based on their platform. And we have an incredible bi-monthly mailer that goes out that keeps people posted on what's happening in the community, and not only at Plant Amnesty. That's where a lot of our advocacy gets posted. That's where we send out a lot of information about the tree ordinance, how to get involved, how to send emails to council members. So I would highly recommend signing up for our newsletter as well.
And the newsletter, do they do that through the website or do they email info@plantamnesty.org? What's the best way?
You can sign up on the website.
Perfect.
There's a little bar that says, join us.
All right. Great. Great. So again, check out plantamnesty.org, sign up for that newsletter, or check out Plant Amnesty on Facebook and Instagram. Going back to some of your other programs and resources, are there any other ones? I know you've talked about a lot and Plant Amnesty does a lot. Are there any other specific ones that you'd like to highlight?
I would like to highlight our Spanish-speaking pruning series. We received a grant from the Northwest Horticultural Society to expand our Spanish pruning programming. So we're working on that. We're going to be releasing dates soon. The classes will be 100% taught in Spanish by our board member, Gonzalo Yepes, and we're very excited about those. And I would also just like to plug our referral service. We have a list of reputable gardeners and arborists who we trust who have our same ideals. And if you need a gardener or an arborist, you can call up Plant Amnesty or email that info@, and we're able to give you a list of references of people that we trust who do incredible pruning and landscaping work.
All right. So a couple other programs that you're highlighting. Again, there's so much going on at Plant Amnesty. Check out plantamnesty.org. With folks being able to join these classrooms, do the workshops, open to kind of the general public, what can individuals do on their own to maybe help in their communities, or maybe just at home with residential landscaping or whatever yard work they're doing this summer?
I mean, you know, as it's getting so much hotter here, water trees. You know, even if you see one of those like city gardening bags, the green ones, they're empty, fill it up. I think as much as we can support those plants, because, you know, people think once a plant is established, you sort of stop watering it. But to continue doing that, especially as these plants who are not adapted quite yet to this high temperature, to support them in that way. I think also being outside and, you know, just appreciating what we have, I think is one of the best ways to do that. I mean, I feel like I might not ever own a house in my lifetime based off of how old I am and every recession that's happened. So, you know, if you do not own a house where you have landscaping, to go to parks, if you see trash, pick it up, volunteer at, you know, different community centers with a gardening aspect. There's pea patches that you can sign up for. But yeah, I would just highly encourage people to just get outdoors, water plants when you see it, and don't plant English ivy.
Okay. All right. So a lot that folks can do, even if they don't own their own home or don't have a garden or any landscaping of their own, and certainly getting out into those green spaces, learn to appreciate them. And maybe along the way, you want to put the work in to help preserve them or contribute to organizations like Plant Amnesty that are doing that work to preserve them. For those who are just joining us, this is Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. My guest today is Maggie Rogers from Plant Amnesty, a nonprofit that provides resources to prevent malpruning and preserve urban green spaces. Maggie, what is Plant Amnesty's connection to Magnuson Park?
Plant Amnesty's offices are headquartered at Magnuson Park in Building 30. And we've been here for over 10 years, and we just re-signed another 5-year contract, so we're not going anywhere. Yeah, we have our offices here and our storage as well.
Well, it's great to hear that you're going to be sticking around at least for another 5 years. Are there any programs that you run within Magnuson Park, or if not, by yourself at Plant Amnesty, are there any partnerships that you have with other organizations in the park?
So we're next door neighbors to the Washington Native Plant Society, and we have a lot of overlap and community and members. So it's nice to have them next door to be able to bounce things off of. And we're hoping to do something next year for Native Plant Month, which is April. And we also, there's the Magnuson Park Children's Garden, where we do workshops. We'll go and, you know, spend a day of pruning there with some professionals so they can get their credit for their Master Pruner program. So that's the main, like, hands-on partnership that we have.
Well, you mentioned the partnerships, Washington Native Plant Society and the Children's Garden, obviously beneficial to the work that you do. What other benefits do you see from having a presence within Magnuson Park?
I mean, it's incredible to work for an organization that works with plants on a 350-acre incredible park in the city of Seattle. you know, we do so much protecting of old trees and, you know, to stand under these over 100-foot tall trees and some of like the best looking madrones I've ever seen are incredibly inspirational.
Well, Magnuson Park is definitely a great spot. Certainly, as you've mentioned a number of times, just getting out into nature. Magnuson Park has a lot of that and just a beautiful park to get out into the outdoors. As we are kind of talking about how folks can get involved and the work that you're doing in communities in the area, how can someone volunteer with Plant Amnesty? What do those opportunities look like?
Plant Amnesty is run on the good faith of volunteers. You know, as a nonprofit, we really rely on that donation of work and commitment to the organization. The best way to volunteer at Plant Amnesty is to work one of our boothing events. And that's where we go out into the public, we hand out free literature, and we're always, always looking for people to staff those booths. We also run fun special events. Like we just had a tour of the John Grade studio. John Grade is an incredible artist, woodworker, and we got to tour his whole facility, see the new projects he's working on for all over the world. And we always need volunteers to help with that. And it's a great way to come to the events free of charge. And we also always have great snacks. It's something that we're known for at our Molms, our meeting of like minds. The potluck is off the chain.
Do you have any upcoming events? I know you mentioned the Urban Forestry Symposium. When does that take place? And are there other upcoming events that people should look out for?
So the Urban Forestry Symposium is in October, but something that's coming up really fast that we need volunteers for is Sorticulture, which is in Everett. And that's a 3-day event. It's a garden and art fair. It's hard to describe. There's lots of very interesting vendors for outdoor spaces. And we were there last year. It was so much fun. We passed out tons of pamphlets. There's lots of matching games with seeds and leaves for kids. We always try to have fun activities for kids to do that adults also love doing. I am also one of those adults who love doing it. And yeah, just being present and letting people know that there's a community of plant people out here who'd love to get to know them.
When is Sorticulture coming up and how do people get involved as volunteers for that?
Yeah, so Sorticulture is June 9th through 11th in Everett. And if you would like to volunteer, you can email the info@plantamnesty.org.
Other ways that folks can contribute, you mentioned membership, but donations, monetary donations or in-kind donations, material donations. How does someone become a member and what other ways can folks contribute to Plant Amnesty?
I mean, the best way to contribute to Plant Amnesty is through a monetary donation. You know, we are a small 501c3 and most of our fundraising comes from individual donors. So that would be an incredible way to support Plant Amnesty and also get your foot in the door to be involved. Like you said, becoming a member is a great way to be involved. We send out a quarterly newsletter. There's lots of member benefits along with access to this resource library that I talked about earlier. We have something called Adopt a Plant, where if you have a plant that you don't want to get rid of, I mean, you're trying to get it off your property, but you don't want to put it in the garbage, the compost, you can post it and someone may come pick it up. So trying to have some like grassroots things like that. And in terms of in-kind donations, we're looking for a speaker and a microphone, if anybody has one, for our events to help us move into the 21st century with technology. We're getting there, but could absolutely use that.
All right. So some opportunities to contribute to Plant Amnesty outside of volunteering if you don't have the time or the capacity to volunteer. Consider membership, consider those monetary donations, consider the in-kind contributions as well.
And also, if you work at a company that does corporate matching, I would highly suggest, you know, reaching out to your employer and see if that's possible. Some companies will match dollar for dollar, and that is a huge benefit to us as well. So
okay, well, as we are wrapping up here, is there anything else you would like to say to our listeners about the work that Plant Amnesty does, the programs it offers, or how they can contribute?
I think something that I would definitely want to share is just to There's a lot of good people doing good work. And I know that it may not feel like it based off of how the world is going or how it may feel. But there's a community out there of positive people who are trying to make change. And Planned Amnesty is definitely in that community. And if you're looking for a place to make that happen, your voice heard, to feel like you're doing actionable things to save the environment, I would highly suggest checking us out. We're also a lot of fun. I feel like I haven't said that enough. You know, we have really fun events throughout the year. Like, we do bingo with Cisco Morris, who's plant king, legend. Mm-hmm. I love him. He's so funny. He's so spry. So we do like a Halloween bingo with him every year. We have an incredible Christmas party where we have the Holly Dazed Singers, who do, I guess, parodies on Christmas songs about pruning that are very fun.
I appreciate the call to action. Always appreciate folks who are challenging us to get involved. And I must say that this has been a very fun interview. I've really enjoyed having you on. So can definitely see Plant Amnesty being a very fun organization to be a part of mm-hmm. as well. So final question for you. If Plant Amnesty had a theme song, what do you think it would be?
So I thought about this a lot on my drive over. And I think the song that I've settled on is With a Little Help from My Friends by the Beatles. Like I said earlier, nothing in this organization would happen without the kindness of friends and strangers. And yeah, we wouldn't be able to operate without you all. So it feels very much the Plant Amnesty spirit of we're all in this together. We need each other.
Well, that is the perfect song, not just for Plant Amnesty, but I think for a lot of the smaller nonprofits around mm-hmm. here at Magnuson Park. Maggie, thank you so much for being here, for talking to us about Plant Amnesty. Looking forward to all the good work that Plant Amnesty is doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends. What do I do when my love is away?
Thank you for listening to Exploring Magnuson Park. My guest today was Maggie Rogers from Plant Amnesty, a nonprofit organization that provides education, resources, and advocacy to prevent malpruning and preserve urban green space. To learn more about Plant Amnesty, visit plantamnesty.org. Some upcoming events happening in Magnuson Park. The Seattle Mineral Market will take place on Saturday, May 20th and Sunday, May 21st at Hangar 30. This event offers over 60 dealers and demonstrators in minerals, fossils, gems, jewelry, mineral art, and more. Check out elementalendeavors.com for more information. Also, the Plain Air Views of Washington Paint Out will take place on Saturday, June 3rd, starting at 8:30 a.m. at Building 30 West. Participants will have an opportunity to paint at various locations around Magnuson Park, followed by a wet works display and reception at Building 30 West from 3 to 6 p.m. Don't forget to bring your painting materials with you and check out space@magnuson.org for more information. And thank you to everyone who contributes to Space 101.1 FM. It's your donations that make this show and all of our programs possible. If you'd like to contribute, want to learn more about the station, or would like to listen online, visit space101fm.org. And tune into Space 101.1 FM on Thursdays at 2 p.m. for more Exploring Magnuson Park. Next week, we'll be learning about Thistle Theater, a professional puppet theater for families. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. Have a wonderful day, and go Mariners! Walking in my neighborhood, well, the sun is shining, and it sure feels good. Walking in